If you've been thrown into this world of responsibility, bills, and adulting without your consent, then LO is for you.
Hello, my name is Harachi LO, and you're welcome to the LO podcast. LO is an Igbo word that means to think deeply and deliberately. On every episode of LO, my guest and I have the most sincere conversations about real life stuff like growing up, career, education, money, finance, faith, friendships, and relationships. So if you're willing to not just survive adulting, but to actually thrive and enjoy yourself while at it, then grab a seat and let us take this journey. Hello, welcome to the LO podcast. Today on the LO podcast, we have Idil.
Idume.
Idil is a brand identity designer, and he's good at that. He's really, really good at that. Idil has designed and consulted for brands across Nigeria and a couple of brands in the US. Yes?
Yes.
Several others. Well, tell me what you have done so far. I mean, don't be shy. Blow your trumpet, man.
I'm so sorry.
To think that I expected that from you.
Oh, mom, I know, right? Okay, so I have designed for brands across Nigeria and some other countries abroad. So off the top of my head, I can remember the ones I've done for those in the UK, the US, Ghana, there's Ghana, there's Malaysia, there is France, there is India.
Yeah, stop blowing your trumpets. Stop. A lot of people know Abel as a brand identity designer. What they don't know is that Abel is actually a graduate of engineering. A lot of people don't know that. Abel studied civil engineering. I actually met Abel while we were in school. Abel studied civil engineering. I was doing a degree in early childhood education. But strangely, Abel has refused to practice civil engineering.
You said I studied civil engineering and you did a degree. So now me.
Well, you did not do a degree. You read your book, bro.
Okay, fine. But you were saying
you read your book. I was saying that why did you finish studying civil engineering? I remember the conversation we had, and I asked you what you wanted to do and how far you wanted to go with this design thing. Because, I mean, I felt, okay, maybe it was just a passing phase. Maybe this boy just wanted to press computer and, you know, after a while, he will go back and do serious stuff. But I've watched you, and you're actually serious about this design thing.
Mama.
When and why did you make up your mind to go this direction?
I think, as an adult in Nigeria, right?
Yeah.
The country does get to sometimes make decisions for you even without
your consent.
Yes, even without you having your input in it, right? So, okay, I know I studied a course that is, in quotes, easy to get a job, or it's easy to do something with my course. But then again, at the level that I want to do it, I don't think I will be satisfied doing that in Nigeria or where okay, so I live in Delta State, so where I live, I don't think I would find so much satisfaction doing that thing, doing civil engineering here. So that one aside, I also enjoyed the fact that I could work from anywhere I wanted to work, and it would be as well, maybe not as good as going to an office and meeting with people, you know, having real life conversations face to face, maybe not as good, but then again, yeah. I get paid to work from my house, so yeah, I think I really like it.
And still meet international standards, eh?
Actually, yes. So I fancy the idea of, you know, having to work as a designer. That's the second reason. And then lastly, I actually did like to design. I had passion for it, and it seems I have more passion for design than I do for civil engineering. So, or maybe than I did for civil engineering. So that helped me make the decision. So that's why. So coming to when,
okay,
I decided that I was going to design, probably not full time, but I knew I was not going to stop designing in my 300 level. That was when I knew I was going to design, and after then I had not even started design professionally. Okay, so I had not even started at all. Back then it was just, you know, using my phone to, you know, do one or two things.
I remember your third year.
So that was a major turning point for me, my 300 level. So I made designs with my phone then. And so getting to see the results of what I could do with my phone, I was
your designs
like, wow.
Were pretty terrible then, though.
Actually, yeah, to be honest, they were. I mean, right now. But back then, it seemed good. So I felt like, oh, why not I, you know, try and do this thing professionally? So professionally now means, you know, working with an actual laptop and doing the stuff well enough, not just my phone. I started out professionally then, and sometime in 2018/2019. So that was when I knew that I was really going to focus on design rather than civil engineering.
Now, was it a case of, okay, I'm good at this thing, let me pursue it, or was it a case of, this is lucrative and I can earn a living from this, let me pursue it?
I feel like it was right now. I don't think I've thought about this question before, but now that I think about it, it was more of well, this thing is looking like it wants to make sense, so let's just pursue this thing small. We will just put more effort, you know, let me try my hands on this thing, let's see where the journey leads us. And ASU really does help us make those decisions for us, because
bro, ASU makes you focus. ASU doesn't make you focus. I don't know what we are. If you know the multi-million naira ideas that come up during, it's like just disrupts your education and start thinking.
Most of the time, you actually cannot pursue them at the time. They just keep popping up, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to what I was saying. ASU had influence. And then my fourth year was the year I had to leave school for 6 months to do my industrial training somewhere, so I had more time on my hands to do stuff, so that really helped me focus and helped me advance, you know, in design. So all of those things, seeing, of course, with time and growth, you get to explore more and you get to meet more people who want your services, and then you just like, okay, this thing is, we're getting somewhere. So experiencing all of those just made me realize how possible it was to earn a living off design full time.
Off design.
Yeah.
So for you, earning a living was a major factor to consider.
Well, there was that, of course, you know, getting to leave school, definitely have to think ahead. Yeah. So that was a major deciding factor.
It's all right. It's all right. Thank you, Ibel, for sharing a piece of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Now, let's jump into branding as you're the expert, you're the brand expert now, right? And we're coming for consultation. All right?
Anything? Is that what?
Anything? Okay. What does anyway mean? What is the literal meaning?
I think I've heard people say it means you say, or like, what did you say? Like, repeat yourself. So that's what
in Yoruba. I don't think I know enough Yoruba to interpret that, but I know it means something like that in general. So let's talk branding. Yeah, a lot of people hear brand. I want to build my brand. I want to set up my brand. And I'll do a little branding here. What it is, and we're going to get to the root of if it means having multiple episodes for this, that if people ask for it, it's possible, right?
Okay.
But we're going to deal with it to the extent. I didn't get that.
You said if people ask for it, I said that means they'll pay consultation fee now.
Okay.
Please go on. I'm sorry for cutting you short.
It's fine. If it means, I want us to actually deal with this to a large extent. See? If we're not able to finish one episode, we can split it and have multiple episodes. All right. What is branding? What really is branding?
Well, I would say, if we're going to have this conversation, then we probably need to even start from what a brand is before we go into what branding is. Okay, so let's start branding. From there.
Yep.
So I'll start from definition of a brand, right? Yeah. So most people feel that there are different misconceptions with what a brand is. And if you were in my world anyway, or if any other person were to be in my shoes, seeing the things I see daily, seeing the things that, or maybe viewing the posts I view, Instagram posts that I view, and all of that, the person must have been tired of the conversation, because it's like everywhere, branding, even when you don't to learn about, just see it's right there in your feet, so you can't run away from it. Okay, so what a brand is, many persons feel that a brand is a business. That is, this is my brand, this is my business. That's correct in a sense, but the actual meaning of a brand is a person's gut feeling of a business, service, or a person. And this definition was made by a brand expert called Martin Neumeyer. I think whoever is listening can check him out. So I'll repeat that again. It's a person's gut feeling, that is what a person feels about a business, a service, or a person. So I could refer it and say your brand is not your business. Your brand is what people think about your business, right?
Yeah.
The word has been misused, and so it's seeming more like a noun, the brand business. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's not tangible. It's not something you can hold and say, this is my brand. Maybe you are the person who sells or who makes, for example, makes parfait.
Cakes.
Exactly. All this stuff. And then you know, I feel like we get those for minds.
Exactly. You get my point.
So you just hold the stuff on them. While you're trying to market your product, you say, this is my brand. Well, that is your product, not your brand. So what your brand is what people, someone defined it as what people say when, what people think or say about you when you are not around, when you are not in the room. For example, what me, I would say about the Hello podcast when he's not by my side, or when Hello is not on this call or on this session. Anyway. So,
yes.
So as I was saying, so let's use your brand as your podcast as a case study now. So Hello podcast,
right,
is not defined by what you say it is. It's not defined by whatever you post on social media.
All this prispy.
Yeah, all those things. Those are the things you say about yourself. Those are the things you say about your business, right? It's not just defined by that, but it's actually the true test of what a brand is defined by what people say about it. But this is a disclaimer, quick disclaimer. Yeah, I know people like Nigerians, because you know this country where you just get as it be, and people can hate people easily. I'm not saying you carry person for mind, because a brand is what people say about it. You can't go to talk another thing like bad thing concerning person business, especially hard work. So that's basically what I would define a brand as. So moving on to what branding is now. Branding refers to like all the necessary actions taken by let's say a person or a business owner to create that feeling in people. Do you understand me?
I get you.
Yes. We could say, so we have already concluded that a brand is what a person feels about another business or another person. So branding, which is a verb now, is the process or like the process of, you know, creating that opinion
that
of yourself, of your business. Yeah, yeah, that's the things you do to create that feeling. That's what branding is. So I think I've answered your question.
So branding goes beyond what we perceive it as, you know, the normal Instagram color theme, fancy logos.
Yes. Okay, I think I should now answer what branding is not.
Please continue.
Okay, so I was going to say branding is not just the logo design, or it's not just the visuals. No, branding is way beyond the visuals. Let's put it that way. So visuals will now include your logo and then your color schemes and fancy designs and whatnot. Those are very, very good and important for businesses, especially in today's world. But they are not what those things. They are not the branding of a business, or they make up the branding, but they are not just the branding. For them standing alone, they are not, you know, the branding. Branding really is made up of those color schemes and whatnot, you know, designs and everything that has to do with visuals. There is marketing. There's some parts of marketing that is part of branding. There is tone of voice,
copywriting, copy tone.
This is off the top of my head though, so I'm just trying to make you one I can't remember right now. So there is also some brands make use of. There's something called sonic branding, that is the voice. So tone of voice is written, the way you sound when someone is reading out what you have written. But sonic branding is what people hear, right? The voice they hear. For example, let's say Santa Claus has been branded to have that deep, manly ho ho ho. That's
okay.
For Santa Claus. So all of those things generally make up branding. Yeah.
So we're talking about how branding affects the average person's business. How does a small business owner leverage on branding for their business? I mean, you're trying to start a business not because you really like business per se, but you know how the economy is. Everybody needs a side hustle. Everybody's forced to do business in Nigeria. Right? Now, I'm doing business to survive. I'm trying to keep my head above the waters. I'm trying to, you know, I'm juggling my numbers. How does branding come in for me? Right? I'm doing my small cake or makeup business now. How does branding come in for me? You know, we both have friends that cake and makeup people. So I'm asking for the average young business owner. I cannot afford the professional's inputs, right? On sonic branding, tone of voice, tone of copy, you know, color theme and all of this. How do I implement proper branding for my business?
Well, thank you for breaking it down, because branding for small businesses, as it were, it's not exactly, it's like a whole different, you know, topic or conversation in itself. Yeah. Because definitely the small business owner cannot afford to, like, you cannot even afford to listen to me talk about all of those things.
Exactly. It is more practical.
I would just say that for small businesses, I think the very first thing they should be concerned about, right?
Yeah.
If not even visuals, because most persons, okay, they think that once they have visuals, they have, like, they are on top of the world. Like, bring Amazon. They are my competitors.
Want to body Amazon.
So those persons, like, okay, no, I'm not trying to shade anybody now, but then of course. I know a person who, after they have done their, they did their logo design and, you know, they have visuals, they just think that's where it stops. No, I would say, now this is a personal opinion, I don't think it should be a personal opinion actually, because I think it's facts. So I would say that visuals should come second to something else. Now, the very first thing that small business owners should be thinking about is customer experience. Their customer experience, because at the end of the day, everything influences how a person would feel about your brand. Everything, or about your business rather. If you have the best visuals, I'm talking to, like, as though I'm referring to a small business owner, right? If you have the best visuals in the world and your customer experience is terrible,
it's true.
Your business is as good as terrible, because that person would live with a feeling of, you know, this brand is just anyhow, like, they messed up, you know. And like I said, I'm referring to small business owners. So if that one person who you are supposed to value above every other thing, above your visuals, and that one person, if you lose that person, the person might as well go on to tell someone else. And if that's someone else, just that's how
the person
just
might spread. Not. It's not a case of the person might. The person will. People talk.
Exactly. And so,
There's a shop on my street.
Yeah.
That I'd never walked in there.
I won't lie to you, right? And I walk past there like there's no shop. Do you know why?
No.
My brother went in there and was treated like trash. You know, okay.
Wow.
They wasted time, right? He tried to complain, and the way they replied wasn't nice. This is me putting it in a very nice way, right? Okay. And he came back and told the story. I did not bother to confirm if it's true. It's been over 3 years. I've not stepped feet into that shop. You don't understand. It's not that I'm deliberately making a decision not to. People's buying habits are more spontaneous, not thought of, right? But yeah, it's just not in my habit. It's not my routine to go to that shop. You understand it now?
Yes. So I was saying, right? You're being a small business. After, if you lose that one person who you should have taken as priority, the person goes on to tell someone else. That someone else goes on to tell another someone else, and at the end of the day, that's how you see that everything is crumbling before your very eyes.
Yeah.
And you know the worst part? Worst when you have in your mind branded yourself and mastered those all that parts. You probably have a good logo, you probably have a very fine designs and visuals. But when it comes to the thing that matters the most, having good having good interactions or a good for your customers to have a good experience with you, it was trash.
Yes.
Even worse. But the person will see that this person we don't see all the things, the design, everything makes sense. Only for him to come attend to us now rubbish now we see. So all of those things, I think they are secondary. If you are a small business owner, the things you should be thinking of most are those things that would help you make your customer experience better. Those things that would make a person leave your shop or leave your DM smiling and, you know, very satisfied. I think that's the very, very first thing people need to invest on. If you need to see, take it from me. This is my personal hot take. This is my personal hot take, and I'm going to say, I think it's better to invest, like pay and buy a course for learning customer experiences, like learning how to improve customer experiences, learning how to handle people, learning how to respond.
Do those things work in Nigeria?
Customer experiences is not just it's not just for the customer to for you not to insult the customer or something like that. So customer experience can actually be the way you type on WhatsApp. You just type maybe the way, I'm serious, because there are things that will just, there are unspoken things that will just naturally piss you off, you know? You will not even know when it's starting to piss you off. So that is just one of them, you know, the way people type. I would advise that for small business, note that this is for small business owners, that in fact even big businesses, or just that, you know, that's not something they would have issues with, because being a big business, they most likely already know how to handle customers. So this is me talking to small businesses here.
I'd rather just call you professionals.
The young professionals. Yeah, the very first thing you should really improve on is your customer experience. Take it from me. I think you will not know how it will come, but you will see so many positives coming towards your business. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Abel. Now, the last guest we had on the Elo podcast, that was Onyafia. We had Chris over. And one of the things he mentioned was that Nigerians don't like, that is from his personal selling experience, that Nigerians don't like buying from corporate looking brands. They like dealing with individuals directly, right?
Wow.
Yes. Do you think it comes to play here, being that, you know, you as yourself, you are a brand, right? You give off a certain vibe. You know, when you come out as a person, especially when you're a small business owner, most of the time, it's you, right? It's you. So it's a me, but you keep saying, oh, no, we don't have that, sir. We don't. So sometimes, you come off as insincere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know that people are picking up these things. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you know, I like giving instances with the normal trader in the market. Let's take on Onitsha Main Market, for example. Have you been there?
No, I've not.
All right. But basically, you've seen Igbo people operate businesses, and you see how it is that they don't even have their business names are not even all that, you know, they don't even have a consistent brand.
Those guys, they don't even have a business. They probably don't even have a business name.
Exactly. Chukwuka and Sons, and they are fine. But I can assure you that your experience there, you will feel like royalty when you are coming out. You know, and I think that is one thing that assures them of repeated sales. Assures them of repeated sales. So let's jump to the next question. Yes, I think we've dealt with it a little. How do you build a reputable brand as a small business without all the shiny tools? You know, you can't afford expert analytics and all of that. How do you build up yourself as a reputable brand that people trust to, you know, do business with?
Okay, like I have said, yes. The very first thing in building a brand is your ability to have good experiences with your customers. And for starters, that would be you being an honest person or an honest business person. Yeah.
Yes.
Because people like to, should I say, hype or blow up their abilities or blow up their service offering in ways that they themselves cannot control. And so when people approach them that, okay, I saw this your poster somewhere that you can do this or you can do that, they know they can't do it.
Yeah.
No, they cannot do. But they'll say, ah, yes, I can do it. That's where lies come in. And then you probably will not, you know, efficiently carry out that thing.
You're able to deliver that,
not deliver quality. And in that, you have already ruined that customer's experience, because the person would most likely have been expecting something better than what you delivered. But the person might not tell you, might just say thank you and pay you and go. But that person would tell his brother or someone else that, you know,
are you shitting me? Are you trying to shit me?
Why can't you say that? I'm so sorry. I just did not realize. No, anyway.
It's fine.
Anyway, yes, so that's the first thing I would say. Honesty, be honest with your business. Be honest as you can be. Just be honest with your business. And, you know,
Can I come in here, please?
Yes, okay.
Now, what is the difference between honesty and, you know, putting up a good front, looking respectable? I mean, I can't be looking raggedy and expect people to give me big money. Now, you know, people always say fake it till you make it or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right? how do I balance, you know, looking good outside, looking respectable, and also being honest, right?
Okay. Yes, I get the question. So
exactly, how do I package myself to look like somebody that deserves to be paid?
I was going to come to this in during the talk, like the aspect where probably we'll talk about personal branding. So would you want me to go into that now, or do you want me to answer?
All right, let's leave it for them. Just continue.
Okay, so yes, the question was building a personal business, right? Sorry, the question was building a business.
A reputable brand as a startup.
Cannot
afford all the fancy stuff.
Good. So like I was saying, be honest. When you are honest, then you can now look into other aspects of making that customer happy. Like as a startup, every person that comes to you is valuable, is as valuable as gold, because those are the persons that will blow your trumpet to the circles that you cannot access. It might not be a big people circle, like it might not be a big circle, but it's just not your circle, it's that person's circle. So it's like you having access to another person's circle already by giving that person a quality experience. And so that's how it happens for you as a startup. You know, it blows up. If you can get it right, it blows you up. And then probably more leads start coming in, more money for you.
And one good thing about being invited into people's circles is that your circles don't remain the same size.
Exactly.
Circles expand. You know, they expand both financially and the influence and size.
That's absolutely spot on. So back to what I was saying, right? So when leads are coming in and you know you have started making some good money, you can now invest more in your visuals and then all of those other things that I mentioned. Okay, so let me not mention it in person now. Let me now, you know, talk about them well.
It's specific. So,
yes. So after you have ensured that your customer experiences are very, very on point, you already have leads coming in and you're already making some good money. So now is the time to invest in the other aspects of your brand, visuals, and you know, other aspects. For a small business, those other things alongside, like your tone of voice, might be too
advanced.
Yes, that's the word, thank you. They might be too advanced for you. I'm just thinking of small businesses. I'm trying to think of the regular person who posts his or her product on my WhatsApp, and so the person might not exactly have much knowledge about these things. So when I say advanced, you know, I don't think they might be able to handle all of that. So the basic things for a startup are the visuals and the brand promise. What exactly am I telling people that I will meet up to? For a brand that I know, it's delivering. Okay, so let me just mention the brand, which is KD Apparel. I'm sure many persons who listen to this know KD Apparel. So for them,
how about the people that don't know KD Apparel?
They can check them out on IG or Twitter. Yeah, on Twitter. KD, this is free marketing for you. So,
shout out.
So for KD Apparel, it's delivering urban wears that are classy and spread positivity. So that's their promise. That's the brand promise. And everything that they now do, you know, it's going to revolve around that promise they are making to their customers. So they don't necessarily have to shout it or echo it in front of their customers that we are delivering urban wears with positivity to you people. No,
But all their actions, all their every single thing they do in terms of the quality of things they produce, the quality of customer service that they give out, the quality of their packaging, you know, however they package their products, everything boils down to I forgot the most important thing, the quality of the things they write on their t-shirts. So Kate is a t-shirt, deals on t-shirts or wears apparently. So the quality of the message on the dress. So all of those things make up what they call their brand promise. And if they deliver on each and everything that I just mentioned on it, they deliver 100%, then they are meeting up to that customer's satisfaction, and they themselves are also meeting up to that promise. So as a small business person, you need to ask yourself, what exactly am I promising these people? Let's say for the cake person or the baker, right? The caterer.
Yes.
That person's promising me that he or she is providing baking services that would make the client or the customer want to eat cakes twice a week. That's actually pretty random. Okay. Now that I think about it, it makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, so I was waiting for when you tell me to laugh. You know, because it wasn't sounding funny, but you were laughing.
I mean, it sounded dumb when I just said it, as I was laughing at myself.
You get.
Yes. So, yes. So for the baker, I'm just thinking that as an example. That's an example that, you know, the promise could be that you want the whoever you are reaching out to. You want them to come back for more, right? So what yes. you're going to be putting up on your social media or whatever channel you are, you know, operating on,
you market with. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You everything would center or would revolve around that promise you are giving. Everything as it concerns with your marketing, concerns with your customer services, concerns with your packaging, concerns with the taste of the cake itself, quality of the cake, the icing or the designs, you know, how well you execute your designs, how well you meet the customer's expectations, not you do what I ordered and what I received, not all of those trash.
What I ordered versus what I got.
So if you are hitting up on, if you are hitting up all those goals and you're smashing everything, then we could say that you are meeting your target, which is your brand promise, right? So all of those things coupled with your branded visuals, this is where visuals come in, your branded visuals and your logo and your colors and everything fanciful, everything now works together to make your brand stand out. Let me just do a small recap. The things I have just mentioned in summary are, first of all, the customer experience. Make sure it's top. Number two is the promise. What exactly are you promising me as your customer? What exactly am I supposed to expect from you? What should be my expectation from you as a business? Thirdly, your visuals. So everything, those three things, I think for a small startup, like small stage startup, they should have all of those things that I just mentioned.
Hello, did you enjoy that? Next week will be even better. Next week we're having the concluding part of this conversation. We're going heavy on personal branding, we're talking social media, we're talking sales, we're talking visibility, we're talking networking, we're talking the final episode of the first season of the Elu podcast. We're leaving all this talk for next week, so we don't really have to talk too much now. I'll see you next week. Until then, remember, Ezia Fakegu. A good name is better than riches. My name's Harati Elu. We don't know.